And on today's Windy City CareerCast, Mitchell Fain and I, we get into the controversy that is Grey's Anatomy and the firing of Brooke Smith. We talk about it. Also, Mitchell is also about to make a television appearance. What's the show and who's the star and why is it surprising? And also, Mitchell and I are talking about the holidays. It's time. They're around the corner. What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, Solstice, Kwanzaa? We tell some beautiful and some sad stories of the holidays.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 261. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell. We had, it's just, you know, it's such a compelling and potent time right now. There's just so much to talk about. But, you know, we had a really heady show last show about politics and the election
and
race.
Let's talk about silly stuff like pee-pee and poo-poo. And
people love it when we talk about pee-pee and poo-poo.
I know.
I was just in Target yesterday buying cards and I thought, I need to go pee.
Oh my God, I was in Barnes & Noble and I nearly peed my pants.
If you don't know what we're talking about,
you have to go back and listen.
Where are the places that you happen to go where you have to pee-pee?
Well, you immediately have to go to the bathroom the minute you walk in.
What is that?
I don't know. We still haven't figured it out. I can't believe we're back on it. All right, let's talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Let's talk about TV because we both love TV. And is your cable fixed?
Oh, thank God. Amy, yes. I lived the long cable nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, my cable went out the day before the election.
It's like terrible. It's like it going out before the week American Idol.
Also, I have to explain to everybody
finals.
That I've been sort of bedridden with this
cold. I passed it to you, I guess.
Well, everybody has it. I'm sure everybody listening has it. But it's knocked me on my tight
little ass.
I'm just kidding, Steven Ritter.
good looking from behind.
Thank you so much.
And from the front.
And I've basically all I've had is like hot tea, the love of my friends, and cable television. And the day before the election, when all I want to do is like go out, vote, go back to my sick bed, and then watch it all unfold.
Yeah.
My cable's out.
Yeah.
Thank God for Amy and Kelly because they came down here and cried together.
I just walked down the little back room and...
Oh my God, I came down here and cried with Amy and Kelly, but...
So TV, so the big shocker of last week, I mean, it's a week away now, but people are still blogging about it. You know, one of my favorite blogs is Dorothy Surrenders. I love it.
Yeah,
it's like the greatest lesbian blog, and she so is like me. I just love her.
The first great lesbian work of art.
Yes, like me. Me and the Mona Lisa and Dorothy Surrenders blogging.
Besides Tallulah Bankhead.
And Tallulah, well, she was the second. But, you know, it has been a really big deal. that Brooke Smith was fired. And I love this terminology, too. It's like fired.
Was she fired?
I think so. I don't think it was the end of her contract. So I think officially that's
they wrote her off. But this is my theory. Everybody keeps saying it's homophobic, too gay. I don't think it's too gay because it's ABC, isn't it?
This is the same. But they're showing them actually embarking on sexuality and a sexual relationship. This is not like having Rebecca Romijn Stamos or whatever her name is.
I know, but
now.
Look at Brothers and Sisters, which is my favorite.
But they're not, it's not about the sexual aspect of how do we have sex and how does this make me feel? It's like, you're a chef and you'll go cater my thing and I'm going to treat you bad.
No, I think Brooke Smith is an interesting actress. I remember the first time I saw her was Vanya on 42nd Street.
Brilliant, with Julianne Moore.
She's also, remember, she's in Silence of the Lambs. She's the girl in the
pit. Put the fucking motion in the basket.
She's in the pit. Now, I think Brooke Smith is a brilliant actress. I think the reason why they let her go is because it was B-O-R-I-N-G, a bow ring. Because she had to butt us. I mean, sorry. I think Brooke Smith, while a fine actress, has about as much sexuality as my Uncle Maxie, okay? I mean, I think it just was boring. Yeah. I mean, I had to stop watching it. I mean, I like a little lesbo action, don't get me wrong. I love Sarah Ramirez. Love her.
Yeah.
I love everything about her. And I thought they had a zero chemistry. Yeah. It seemed silly watching it.
Yeah.
And so I think people just stopped watching. I don't think they stopped watching because it had lesbian content and sexual content. I think they stopped watching because it was boring.
Well, I think I just ranted
on the last episode about homophobia and it's in our culture. This, I'm taking the opposite tact. I think it was boring.
Well, I think that it's twofold. I think it's the first time, really, we've dealt with a major storyline that's about sex. Let's go there. I mean, I really think, and they're saying, well, she's still going to be a lesbian. Well, we have watched her fuck a man in every episode.
Last episode.
Sarah Ramirez. We have to make sure she's constantly fucking a man and still saying how much she enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also think, you know, I'm so disappointed because, you know, I am friends with Nikki Weiss, who was one of the people that Glad, you know, brought into the set of Grey's Anatomy to kind of be an advisor. And I know they worked with, you know, with this storyline. Of course, she had no direct impact on whatever they
did.
She was just an
encyclopedia. Did she get called in after the whole...
Last year, before they developed the storyline, they said, we're thinking of doing this storyline. Come in and talk with us about it.
Was this in response to the whole other controversy?
Probably. You know, and that's another interesting point.
Don't you think that show's jumped the shark a little bit anyway? Don't you think that show's sort of put a fork in it's done?
I don't know. I just feel like... Well, you know,
it's no brothers
who
and
they
sisters.
Should have made be a lesbian was Addison, who is so sexy and hot and on that horrible private practice show.
Horrible.
Please.
It was such a great cast.
Whoa.
It's a great cast. Oh. Tim Daly, Audrey McDonald, Amy Brenneman.
But they're nobody. None of them are people I'm compelled to want to see.
I love Amy Brenneman. I'm a judging Amy freak.
Okay, but they're people that are good in different scenarios, but they're not destination people to me. I mean, and so she was. Kate Walsh was, and they fucked up her character, and they took her off. And, you know, I love a redhead. A redhead and a Latina on camera would have been so spicy hot.
Well, I feel about redheads.
Me too. I, like, love the redheads.
They're unicorns. They're rare and beautiful.
Wow. But anyhow, my first sexual encounter with a woman was redhead. But anyhow, built much like Kate Walsh. But, you know, I just...
What, like a 12-year-old boy?
Kind of.
Okay.
Tall, skinny, chorus girl, legs for days.
Right.
Porcelain skin. Kind of Marsha Cross, but without the
pasty. Amy,
the
keep your hands where I can see them.
Ah! So anyhow...
Are we going to go there?
Sniff, sniff.
All right.
No, but like I think they should have left Addison on, let her be so upset with, you know, men doing her wrong, from her husband to McSteamy McDreamy, and get on to McCreamy.
Oh, Amy!
I did go there. I just thought of it right now, there with Callie.
Honestly, give me
a
second.
Callie.
Okay, I'm good. Hey, speaking of TV.
Yeah, well, you're going to make me leave Grey's Anatomy already?
No, just a side note. I'm going to be on a TV show
in
January or February.
Yes.
It's the...
All my friends, you're going to be on The Beast.
The Beast with Patrick Swayze.
Oh.
I'm not really in a scene with him. I'm in a scene in which we're together. I'm actually in two episodes, but I won't tell you what happens, but I have a very tiny, 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 tiny part, but I have some lines with this really awesome actor.
There are no tiny parts. There are only tiny actors.
Yes, and I'm a tiny actor.
You're a tiny actor.
I work most with this actor named Larry Williams, so you guys would all recognize. I wouldn't say he's famous, but you'd recognize him. He works all the time. really, he's like a young, handsome African-American actor. Great guy. Really great guy. Anyway, we have seen together, a couple of scenes together, and I got to meet the Swayze.
Yes.
Who's really nice.
I just love the Swayze. Health is health.
You know, we didn't talk about that, but he doesn't look good.
He does not look good.
He looks...
Skeletor?
His face, he's aged. He's aged. Hollow. I mean, he was so kind, and he's a hard worker, and we were outside on North Avenue Beach till like 3:30 in the morning in the cold.
I just don't understand how he's doing this.
I think, you know what, I talked to some other people on the set who have gotten closer to him, regulars on the show, and they said, you know what, he doesn't want to be a spokesperson for anything, he just wants to work. And so if he's going to survive, he wants to be working. If he's not going to survive, he wants to be working.
And I think that's great for him, but generally it doesn't matter what you as an actor, even a star, really wants insurance. Unless you compel it, because a network getting behind a show, if it's a huge fucking hit, what are they going to do?
I know. I mean, obviously he's doing great,
and I mean, he's working.
Super
so
nice.
And he's always been like the most gentleman of gentlemen, you know,
to me.
He
was lovely.
And
I loved how serious he was, too.
And he's the great love story, he and his wife.
He was just lovely, and he was very generous. You know, I'm like a, you know, basically a day player, a couple of days on his show. Yeah. And he doesn't have any compelling reason to be even pay attention to me. I mean, yeah. That's how the business works. And he was very sweet. Yeah. And it'll be fun. So look for me on The Beast.
See, I'm glad that you had to do that. You just need a moment away from the creamy, didn't you? You just need away. The lesbian ick was just too much.
No,
for you.
That's my point about Brooke Smith.
The lesbian ick is just too much.
I've said this a million times. I love me some lesbians, and I love me some hot lesbians. Sorry, I'm saying this. My sister's a lesbian. I don't want to know about your sex life, Sandy. Yes. But
My brother used to like to watch the O Word. He'd go.
I love it. If it was Kate Walsh and Sarah Ramirez, I'd be up in it. But Brooke Smith has the sexuality of a buffalo nickel.
You know, she was so good on the show before they started.
You were so
this.
Good in a room full of shoes. What did you do?
No.
Well, we rehearsed.
No,
what's that from? Write in and tell me what it's from.
I don't know. She was so good when they just brought her in as this cantankerous heart surgeon.
Yes.
And I actually liked the last half of the episode, this last episode where she's just going to disappear now. Where she got so upset about Izzy giving the heart and all of that, because I thought, like, that's the woman we know,
yes.
The ball buster.
Well, you know what it's reminds me of?
And they keep taking away the, you know, metaphorically, they keep taking away the balls of some of these characters. Brooke Smith is one of them. Somehow making her a lesbian took away her balls.
Well, Brooke Smith certain actors project certain things. Brooke Smith does not project sexuality, which is why I think they hired her in the first place, because they thought she'd be safe.
But she was kind of sexy with Mesteemy. Mesteemy was hitting on her, and that was kind of interesting.
I sort of feel like this. It's like Jodie Foster's career. She has never had a hit film. She's made films, but she's never had a hit film where her relationship with a man was consequential in any way.
Yeah.
Because she's not an actor whose sensuality comes across on the screen. What comes across is intelligence. What comes across is compassion.
Yeah.
What comes across is
ferocity
and integrity and all that sort of stuff. But not sexuality.
See, I feel like I'm that way on stage. I feel like I'm a really sexual being, and that I don't ever seem sexual on stage.
I think that's probably true of me too, I think, but that's because I'm sort of a comic in that way.
Yeah.
But I just think that there's certain ways that you read, and I don't think Brooke Smith reads as sexual, and Sarah Ramirez reads as almost, sometimes I can't imagine her ever leaving the bed.
Yeah.
She's so beautiful and sexy.
Well, you know, and this is
Brooke Smith
my,
isn't beautiful.
No, and this is just my point, although she needs to get her bottom teeth fixed. But this is this is my point.
We are horrible.
No, I love her. I thought her.
Now she's like a toothless old sexless hag.
No. I actually thought her
actress.
Moment, I thought her moment in the bed of, you know, I see the leaves was really quite beautiful. I thought it was quite beautiful.
I wanted to put a needle in my eyeball.
Okay.
I didn't believe a word of it.
Okay. Well, so here's the other thing. My previous point is, why are they taking away the balls of her when she was just this great heart surgeon?
If you say balls one more time, I'm going to kiss you right in the lips.
One more time. Here it goes. And you get ready. Fuck her up. Because they also did the exact same thing. Actually, I don't have to say the word. They actually did the same thing to the word I won't say. To Kate Walsh.
Yeah.
When they moved her from...
Yeah,
you
she's
know,
no longer this sort of tough, scary... Like,
no!
Well, she showed up in Grey's Anatomy. She was someone to be feared.
And then they brought in Brooke Smith to do the same thing. And then they clipped her, too. They clipped that energy. Because we already... What I hate is that we have... Sandra Oh is different. She's just cold and detached. You know,
Sandra also happens to be
and totally intellectual.
She also happens to be an expert comic actress. So even when she's playing serious, so her coldness and her authoritativeness is undercut with her expert timing.
But you know, but
and that's
just,
a rare gift.
And she's great. I just don't want people to say, "Well, Sandra Oh's got
hers is different.
Is like got big different. Cojones." I'll say cojones. But okay. I just don't understand, you know, that show wants to take these women and make them all simpering and whimpering. And why, I think, when Brooke Smith immediately came on, it was compelling. Why did, Vajayjay Doctor, her name?
Chandra Wilson.
You know, she won the Emmy or was nominated that first year because she was that. She was called the Nazi.
Right, she was
you
tough.
Know, they've made her softer now. You know, they kind of dropped her character, which is a great character.
They didn't bring back, which is a shame, I think. Unless they haven't, I haven't seen her. But who's the chief of staff, the black guy?
Well, I know who.
Whatever that character's name is. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the chief.
The chief.
His wife
was played by...
Was the original Dreamgirls.
Loretta Devine, who's my absolute favorite character actress on the planet.
Yeah.
I think she's a miracle.
Yeah. She was so good in Waiting to Exhale.
She's just always good.
Yeah.
And she was so good last season in
a tiny couple of scenes with him.
And there's another... different angle of a tough, smart lady fighting for what's hers.
Yeah.
And they'd sort of dumped that.
The
show is, I have to tell you something. Here's the big thing. Lesbian aside, lesbian, you know, issues aside, the show's tanking.
Well, they're adding now a bisexual character. She's coming on this week. It's like out one lesbian in
it's
a
desperate.
Bisexual.
It's jumping the shark.
But why do they only feel comfortable with bisexual characters? That is my, I mean, because I guarantee you they're bringing on, I think her name's Melissa, is it Melissa George? They're bringing on this character.
Melissa George?
Wait.
Are we reading the newspaper now?
I'm reading the newspaper. I tore it out. Oh, frack it. I can't remember her name. But they're bringing on the actress. She's from Alias, and she was on... I can't remember her name. Anyhow, the character is going to see her character... Yeah, Melissa George. The character is going to be... her name's Sadie. She's bisexual. She is an old friend of Meredith's. You know, is she going to potentially be somebody Meredith had ever done anything with? Who knows? But they're bringing her on. Now, do I think she's going to get in a relationship with Callie? I don't know.
That's weird because that would imply like, you know, anybody with the same sexuality would...
Is what I'm saying. I hope they don't go down that path.
Well,
and I don't know if they're trying to do the G, the L, the B, and the T.
Right.
Just because. But I'm wondering like, you know, is...
Listen, I'd rather have them do that. Let's talk about it in the big picture. I'd rather have them throw the whole BLT together. You know, give me the bacon, lettuce, and the tomato. At least you're doing it. I mean, I have to say, when
ABC
it comes down to
it... Yeah, and ABC has done it. I mean, Betty they've dealt very openly with the comedy.
And listen, how many ABC shows has Alex Billings been on?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not shying away from that. Of course,
she's
always...
about to be on another one, Eli Stone.
I know, and luckily, I don't think she's dying in a hospital in this one.
I don't think so.
Thank God. Isn't that the most amazing thing? Like, anybody who knows Alex or listens to this podcast knows that Alex is maybe one of the top two funniest people on the motherfucking planet.
And she's rarely done comedic
on television
spins. She's like this tragic.
She's always some tragic because, you know, God forbid that
tragic but wise.
Yeah, but God forbid that transgendered people actually live happy, joyful lives. Well, and which, you know, GLBT representations, you know,
LMNOP.
LMNOP, QRST on television are still in their infancy.
They are.
So people are trying, they're doing the best they can. Which is why I keep going back to brothers and sisters. Not only do they have this great marriage between the brother and his new husband.
Yeah.
And I love the relationship and the whole way it played out and how he sort of was at one point dating the brother of Rob Lowe.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. But also the uncle has just come out.
Right.
Ron Rifkin's character has just come
Genius.
Out. And they're about to give him
a
lover.
Good.
So they're about to explore what it means to be older and gay and come out.
Well, that's at least smart. Hey, you know, we have to tell you where you've always been able to see GLBT representations is in the theater. So let us take you to what's going on in the theater scene. The Mitchell and our back. It's all pop today, all pop culture TV.
Love it.
Direct from Broadway, it's Grease, starring American Idol winner Taylor Hicks. Yes, it's Time Magazine's number one musical of the year, featuring all those songs that you love. They're all here. Grease Lightning, Summer Nights, Sandy, We Go Together, Beauty School Dropout, Hopelessly Devoted to You, and of course, You're the One That I Want.
You're the one that I want. You are the one for. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Honey, the one that I want. You are the one for.
So come on and check out Taylor Hicks in the show the Associated Press calls the original high school musical, Grease. Get the tickets you want today.
Begins January 6th at the Auditorium Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 10th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Haram Iran is a controversial and mind-blowing play by J. Paul Derrotany, based on the true story of two Arabic boys accused of homosexual sins. Haram Iran is playing through December 9th at the Athenaeum Theater, only $20. 25% of the profits are donated to charities preventing human rights abuses in Iran. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. This show contains nudity, violence, and strong political content.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents The Marriage of Figaro, now playing through January 4th at the Greenhouse Theater Center. Before Mozart's opera, there was the play by Beaumarchais. Take a risque look at what's underneath the music. Don't miss The Marriage of Figaro and a new adaptation by Ranjit Bolt. For more information, visit remybumpo.org.
Meet Edith and Little Edie Beale, Jackie O's most scandalous relatives, in the Tony Award-winning smash hit musical, Grey Gardens, starring Hollis Resnick. This fall's most anticipated production follows the pair's fall from high society into the squalor of their infamous East Hampton home. Grey Gardens is playing through December 28th. For more, visit northlight.org.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Burn Notice hunky star Jeffrey Donovan and Patricia Callenber, formerly of TV Sisters. Playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
American Theater Company presents Celebrity Row, written by Itamar Moses and directed by David Cromer. Based on the fact that in the 90s, four of America's most notorious criminals were housed on the same cell block, Celebrity Row explores issues of homeland security and individual freedoms in one of the most dazzling cliffhangers of modern drama. Playing through November 16th, for tickets, visit atcweb.org. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite girl, Amy.
What was the play that you just saw, the musical?
I just saw Million Dollar Quartet here in
Goodman?
Chicago. No, it has moved from the Goodman to the Apollo Theater. And I hope many other people, if you're listening to this in Seattle, it played in Seattle for a while. It's basically the story of there was this one full afternoon and evening, in Memphis at Sun Studios, run by Sam Phillips, who discovered all these great talents, from Johnny Cash to Elvis Presley, where he was in the studio with Carl Perkins and a very unknown Jerry Lee Lewis, recording some for Carl Perkins. And on that night, he, because it was during the holidays, it was during Christmas time, he invited, or Thanksgiving, he invited Johnny Cash to come by and invited Elvis, who was going to be home, to stop by.
So the show's about that night?
It's about this night, and Sam Phillips actually hit record and recorded most of this night. Now, the play is basically like an Ain't Misbehavin'. It's basically like a musical review.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because, you know, you can't have a ton of drama and narrative drive when you're dealing with something that is happening in real time where no astronomical event happened, right? I mean, something big would have had to have happened in that 4 hours, you know, for there to be this huge dramatic thread. So it's basically like a fantastic musical review that gives you great back, you know, insight into these four people and where they each were in their career, which was very different. I mean, Elvis Presley had just was starting to make films. Love Me Tender had just become a big song for him. Johnny Cash had now become kind of a crossover artist, still very much wanted to be a gospel artist, but Sun Studios wouldn't produce one of his gospel albums because knew it really wouldn't sell and they couldn't take the risk on that. And his contract was at that moment up with Sun Studios. So was he going to re-sign with Sun, or was he going to go somewhere else? And as we know, he went on to be with a bigger label because he had a massive career. And then Carl Perkins was still just kind of hammering away at kind of his style of honky-tonk blues and rock and roll. But, you know, there was a bitterness there because Blue Suede Shoes was his song.
Right.
And had been performed on the Ed Sullivan Show by Elvis Presley. Right. So it automatically made that song not his, because that was such a pivotal, right, seminal moment in Elvis Presley's career. And Jerry Lee Lewis is a young kid who's pumped up and arrogant and thinks he's going to be the next big thing, and actually did become the next big thing with Sam Phillips' help, sitting there with these, you know, older, more seasoned musicians that he kind of idolized, and at the same time wanted to challenge, right, thought he was deserved to be in their
so
company.
So you liked the show?
I loved it. First of all four of these guys
play, I heard they're super cute.
They're
too.
Super cute. They're very young. We're talking about a young
version
generation
of,
yeah, all of these four guys. And they all are actors. They are all musicians. A couple of them, I would say, are phenomenal musicians, especially Levi Christ, who's been on our show and was on our show to talk about this play a couple months ago.
Who does he play?
He plays Jerry Lee Lewis. He is a phenomenal piano player.
Does he have the hair?
Has the hair, has the kind of like rooster stance with the arched back and,
nice,
and the shoulders back and the butt back, just the right attitude. He's from Nashville, Tennessee, so he has the accent, you know, just has the attitude, plays that piano like you think it's going to start smoking. I mean, I noticed he had rubber tips on all his fingers just so he could bang them that hard and, wow, roll and everything. I mean, and physically just all over the piano.
How long is it running? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's running through the entire holidays and through the year.
I gotta say, before
I
my show
highly
starts.
Highly highly recommend people go, you know, find if money's tight right now. You know, this is a ticket that is, it is 95 minutes with no intermission, just jam-packed. It is all cylinders. The guy that plays Johnny Cash is a better Johnny Cash than Joaquin Phoenix.
Wow.
Looks more like
who's
him.
Who's retiring,
sounds
by the
more
way.
Like him. Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
He wants to be a musician now.
Yeah, I know. That's because that's worked out so well for other actors.
Well, I'm sure he's made enough money. He's kind of a bona fide grown-up hippie. I mean, he was raised in a family that's,
I know,
not,
well, his
about
name
money.
Used to be Leaf. Remember when he was a kid?
Yeah.
He was,
no,
Leaf.
No, was he Leaf?
Yeah, remember
he
in Parenthood? Remember Diane Weiss' son in Parenthood?
Yeah.
That's
I just thought
him.
That was another one.
No.
Well, there's so many,
no,
of
that's
them.
Just,
Summer,
that's just
Leaf,
him as a kid.
River.
River, Rain.
Rainbow. Rain, Rain.
Rain.
Rainbow.
I have not seen any theater in a long time.
God, I've seen so much.
Because I've been doing it.
Yeah.
And speaking of, shameless plug.
Yes.
I start rehearsals very soon, and then the day after Thanksgiving I'm opening doing the Santa Land Diaries, which is based on the David Sedaris piece, but it's,
yeah,
a one-man show. So if anybody wants an alternative,
your show is so great. I'm coming
thank
to
you.
See it again. I'm bringing,
thank you.
I brought like seven people,
you
men,
did,
most of whom were out of towners. So this year I'm going to bring a bunch of people from in town, because I know people who wanted to see it last year and didn't get to see you. So
awesome.
I'm so excited to like say come this year.
Yeah, it's Theater Wit. Theater Wit is the, so you can just look Theater Wit, like Google Theater Wit, WIT theater.
Yeah.
And it's the Santa Land Diaries, and it's going to run from the day after Thanksgiving till I think January 3rd. And come see it. It's really fun. It's short. It's just like 70 minutes, 75 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not expensive, and it's we encourage you to booze it up. You know, bring a
booze
drink
it
in
up.
For those of you who do. Although we do have a policy that if you're late, because it's basically a one-person show and you'll be basically walking across the stage as I'm talking to the audience,
uh-huh,
you can't get in without buying me a drink.
Ah!
The bartender will tell you what my drink of the evening is.
Mm.
But come see it. It's funny. It ends up being moving, and it's an alternative to Christmas Carol.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is very interesting as we talk about... this has nothing to do with anything queer, but we've been talking about, you know, the ins and outs of what's acceptable and what's not and what's,
right,
changing. You know, and I don't know if this law is in other cities, but you cannot smoke anymore,
no,
in Chicago theaters. This has kind of come down from on high. And I have to say...
Really? Wait a minute. I smoked last year in the show.
This is what I'm asking you. How are you? What are you going to do? Because in, you know, Jersey Boys now had to change many aspects of their scenes because it was some patrons who wrote in who had seen Jersey Boys. Now, you're in that huge fucking theater. You cannot smell smoke. No. But they started a thing that the city had to now enforce. And going to see Million Dollar Quartet, there were all these moments. Obviously, that was a huge time for smoking where the guys would get out cigarettes and tap them and never light them. It happened so many times.
What are you telling me? I'm finding out right now on this podcast that I don't get to smoke during the show. Yes. This character has to smoke.
This is what I'm saying.
It's not worth doing. No, all right, I'll find some
alternative. You're going to have to do something.
Percodan?
I don't know. Shooting up? Could you shoot up? That would be funny.
I could shoot up?
That would be funny.
Wait a minute.
I'm serious.
It's a law?
It's a law.
That you can't smoke in Chicago?
It's a lar.
It's a lore?
It's a lore.
That you can't smoke in Chicago theaters?
On stage. So it's been the big thing, like, it's changing, like, how would you do Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf now? I mean, thank God we saw it with the brilliant Bill Irwin and Kathleen Turner, because this, you know, the city of Chicago passed
What if they're not real cigarettes? What if they're fake cigarettes?
I don't know. You're having something to investigate now with your director. I don't know. But I was so aware of the
fact... I can't talk anymore. I have to go home. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
No, but I was like, literally, I was sitting there during this show going, okay, this is so weird. Like, just light the cigarette. It's bugging me. You know? And I've definitely seen other people do it to where it doesn't bug me. And I'm like, that's good, because you didn't need to be smoking here. But there's just so many plays. Like, how do you do Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf without smoking? How do you do a Noel Coward play without smoking?
I know. I just saw that a theater's casting Design for Living. How are you going to do that without smoking?
Who is doing that? I want to do that. Let's go do that. We would be fabulous.
I know. I don't think
it's
an Equity theater.
Oh, I'm not Equity.
I am. It's the theater in Oak Brook, Allison Vesley's theater. It's a wonderful theater. They do outdoor stuff in the summer and then indoor.
Oh, yeah.
First Furlough.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I love Design for Living.
Oh, I know. You should audition.
I should.
You'd have to drive out to Oak Brook every day.
I'd have to be an actor. I don't want to be an actor.
I know. You're so good at it.
And I have no sensuality or sexuality on stage.
That's not true.
I'm like Brooke Smith, and I need to have my bottom teeth fixed, too.
It's not true.
You know what? We need to tell you what's going on in the news, and we'll be back, because Mitchell's got to go have a cigarette
Yes.
now. Shit.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible Underwear Maker!
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now!
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says, I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, baby.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy.
Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
According to Indiana police, there are still few clues as to why an elderly gay couple was murdered. Indianapolis couple Milton Lindgren, age 70, and Eric Hendricks, age 73, were murdered over 2 weeks ago. So far, it appears that the couple was not robbed. Police still do not know how or why the couple was killed, but neighbors and friends fear that the murder was a hate crime because the couple had been targeted in the past and had their home vandalized.
Swedish Prime Minister Fredrik Reinfeldt recently announced that gay marriage should be legal in the country by next year. Currently, Sweden allows civil unions. Reinfeldt said that same-sex marriage legislation is on track, and he is certain that a compromise regarding whether or not the legislation should allow church weddings for gay and lesbian couples would be reached, and that Sweden could have a gender-neutral marriage law by May 1st, 2009.
An international agency is accusing Zimbabwe's government of misusing millions of dollars of AIDS money. The Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria says that Zimbabwe's government allegedly did not use $7.3 million of $12.3 million given to it to fight AIDS and other diseases. The agency is demanding that the government give back the $7.3 million. Zimbabwe's government will not say where the money went, but the International Aid Agency said that it promised that it would return the money soon.
Actress Kim Cattrall of Sex and the City recently confirmed that there will be a second Sex and the City movie. Filming will start as early as next summer. Cottrell said that the only roadblock is finding a time that works out for the busy original cast of Cottrell, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kristen Davis, and lesbian Cynthia Nixon. The movie adaptation of Sex and the City came out in May 2008 and made over $390 million worldwide.
And lesbians and bi ladies are still in the TV news. On a recent episode of Bones, Angela, played by Michaela Conlon, finds herself falling for her old college flame, who just happens to be a lesbian. Her ex-girlfriend Roxy, who was mentioned before on the show, is one of the key suspects in a murder investigation, but is later found to be innocent. The episode ends with the two women kissing. Well, they all should end that way. And another bisexual character on primetime TV and also on the Fox network is Olivia Wilde's character 13. On House. In a recent episode, 13 had to treat a woman she had had a one-night stand with.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Attention, all American queers. See all that you can see at Reeling 2008. The 27th Chicago Lesbian and Gay International Film Festival. Enjoy 11 days of fantastic films, November 6th through November 16th. Reeling's opening night film is Breakfast with Scott, with a gala immediately following. Closing night, join Project Runway winner Jay McCarroll for his film 11 Minutes and at the after party. Other visiting celebrities include Ally Sheedy and the L Word's Elizabeth Keener. Visit www.reelingfilmfestival.org for tickets and more.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Super fun.
It has been fun.
We haven't been able to really chat on the show and get to the nitty gritty of a lot, and we just had a lot to say.
We
this
did.
Week. We really, really did. And we will all have to come and see you in Santaland Diaries.
Please
and
do.
See how you remedy the smoking situation.
Or if I smoke anyway, don't tell on me.
Yeah, I won't tell on you. But what if we all like signed waivers and said if we get lung cancer from secondhand smoke, we will not blame Mitchell Fain.
How about
or
that?
The producers of Theater Wit.
It's just, you know what? Don't.
I have to say, I love now being. I mean, especially as the weather's getting.
I'm
colder.
A smoker, and I'm glad we don't smoke in bars.
Absolutely,
but
I
if
love
you're making
now
choices
even with the
for the actors.
Cold weather that, like, you walk into a bar and you don't feel like you can't breathe.
Right.
I like that too,
and I'm a smoker.
It. Yeah.
I mean, I'm an occasional smoker. I don't smoke that much, but I'm a smoker.
Yeah. You're an infrequent smoker.
I'm an infrequent smoker, but I enjoy. You know, doing it when I want to.
Yeah.
But I also am glad can't smoke in bars. Absolutely glad.
Yeah.
Absolutely glad about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, it's just one of those other things that's been legislated, and I don't know where that's going to fall. But I don't
Weird.
Know. It's interesting. As you head into doing Santaland Diaries, do you get more in the holiday spirit? I mean, I was walking through Target this past week and I love to look at the wrapping paper and the ornaments and the...
I do. I actually, especially as a Jew, you know,
yeah.
because it's not my holiday really.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a very, very heavily Catholic neighborhood. You know,
yeah.
Everybody was Roman Catholic. I love the holidays.
Yeah.
And I'm like the first person to start listening to Christmas music.
Yeah.
And every year I like to buy a new
yeah.
Christmas CD.
Yeah.
I think this year it's going to be Jane Monheit's Christmas CD, which I don't have and I really like her.
I just heard
her.
That Melissa Etheridge is having one. Kristen Chenoweth has one. Sarah Brightman
oh,
has
maybe
one.
I have to get
They're
Kristen
all the
Chenoweth's.
Ladies have one. I'm trying to get her on the show.
I love Kristen Chenoweth. And so I am very excited about it. And it is a fun way to, you know, I used to do the benefit performance for About Face of The Gift.
Uh-huh.
But
Which I did too with you.
I know. And I've missed it. That was always my way of kickstarting the
yeah.
holiday season. But I've had conflicts because I've been in shows at
yeah.
the same time. Although if they're doing it this year, I just tell them to book the space when I don't have a show.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Heather if you're listening.
Heather's not with them anymore.
At all?
Uh-uh. She's teaching at Northwestern. I mean,
good for
running
her.
At Northwestern. She's running the musical theater program up there.
She is?
She is. You'll have to call the new artistic director, Bonnie.
I'm going to call Bonnie.
Okay.
Even if they, I mean,
we'll
if they're going to do it.
You'll have a cigarette. We'll call Bonnie.
Fantastic.
That's what we'll do.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I am so, I mean, are you going to be, are you?
I'll be here because I'll have my show.
Yeah. And then for, and everybody, you know, I call it Thanksgiving. I don't know, how do you say it?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
As opposed to?
Thanksgiving, I guess. I don't know. I can't hear the difference. Kelly tells me that it's about the giving, and I tell her it's about the thanks. So I say Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
It's like how I say July.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
As opposed to...
I just think of it as one word. I don't even know if I break it up. It's like breakfast.
She just keeps telling me to say it correctly. But anyhow, are you going to hang out with a bunch of guys on Thanksgiving?
I usually do. I mean, I usually do because I have that day off and we open the next day. And usually my friend John...
Oh, that would be fun. Maybe we should all go to your show the day after Thanksgiving.
Fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah. I have. I can get a lot of comps on that day, by the way.
Ooh.
A lot.
Hey, podcasters.
Yeah, write me.
Post a comment. Tell them you want tickets.
Yeah. And yeah, so I usually go to my friend John's house and he cooks literally... from scratch, the whole thing. I'm talking like cranberry sauce. I mean, everything from scratch.
Yeah.
I mean, from the soups from scratch.
And he needs eaters, and you are happy to be an eater.
And what are you doing?
You know what? I think we're going over to my friend Lori's house, and I go over with her sister, Christy, is a good friend of mine, and Lori and Shelly. They're two lesbians. They have two beautiful little boys, Miles. And
I do like the babies around on the holidays.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, one of the best Thanksgivings I ever had in the city. You know, because when you move away from your family, it becomes this sort of like orphan Thanksgiving until you create your own traditions, which I have with my friends. But there was one year my roommate, Jim and I, who doesn't live here anymore, very dear old friend, we lived together for a long time, platonically. We had planned to cook, and we just came down to the wire, and we were going to go shopping, and we were like, fuck it. And you know what we did? We went to Pauline's.
Yeah. I love to do that.
Have you ever done that before?
Honey, I went to Po' Folks one year for Thanksgiving. Oh my God. It was the best.
I don't know if they still do it, but...
Or I like to go to a good hotel buffet.
I'll tell you what. We went to Pauline's for Thanksgiving dinner. We walked in. We sat down 5 minutes later. We had the most amazing home-cooked meal. And then they give you so much leftovers because they know you're going to want, like everybody else, to eat later.
Mm-hmm.
Your leftovers. It was fantastic. And then we got home. We had nothing to clean up.
Yeah. It's kind of lovely. My mom's all about, we're going to the Chattanooga Choo Choo. We're just going to go down and have Thanksgiving,
That's
you know?
Funny.
It's really, yes, I mean.
And growing up, we went to the to a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, really?
Well, we're Jews.
Yeah, but that's Christmas, isn't it? Not Thanksgiving.
No, it's all holidays.
It's all holidays. All holidays with the Chinese.
Jews love the Chinese food and the Chinese people.
Isn't that funny? What does that stem
from? I don't.
What the fuck does that stem from?
Well,
can we Wikipedia
that? I'll tell you why.
What is the connection with the Chinese and the Jews?
Back in the day, it was really the only thing that was open. So it's really an American phenomenon, right? So like while everything else was closed for Christmas, the Asians who were often not Christian would stay open.
Mm-hmm.
And so where else are going to go?
I guess that's why.
Yeah, because they were open.
Isn't that interesting? You know, for many years, I didn't celebrate Thanksgiving at all because we would take that opportunity to go on vacation. Like one of my relationships, we would always travel somewhere tropical, and so I would eat like grilled fish, you know, and a Mai Tai.
Nice.
You know, like that was Thanksgiving. But I have to say, one of my best Thanksgivings ever was I was actually going through a breakup, and it was a very sad. I've had a couple of sad Thanksgiving breakups because I've broken up with a lot of people in October, November, and then started relationships immediately in December.
I am a serial
monogamous. Yeah. But I spent Thanksgiving with Alexander Billings and Chris Ann 1 year and Honey West and
I did that so many times because we lived together.
Yeah, and I think you were there that 1 year that I was there, and that was a fantastic Thanksgiving. That was family. You know, that felt really, really great. And I teased her last week and said, you know, maybe I'll fly out to L.A. It's like, what are y'all doing for Thanksgiving? And because Kelly and I weren't sure, and we really wanted to go somewhere warm, and I don't think we're going to. But
she called the other night right before the
memories.
Right before the Gays Got Talent, she called like 5 minutes before the thing started. I was like, we've been playing terrible phone tag, and I was like, I can't talk to you right now.
Ah,
I gotta go
find some gay people who are talented.
Yeah, I gotta go judge the gays.
Yeah.
As if we're not judged enough, but
we're still looking for talented gay people.
I know.
We're going to be on the South Side at Lee's Unleaded Blues, which is kind of going to be cool because it's a night that hopefully will have a lot of African-American GLBT folks coming out, and they do a lot of slam nights and a lot of singer-songwriters, and so that, I hope, is going to be a really successful night.
Out.
And then we've got Crew and Atmosphere coming up in December.
When is the South Side one?
It's going to be the 18th of November. So it's this coming week. I mean, this is out. Yeah, this coming week. So yeah, I'm very excited because it's a new venue and
yeah, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's not a gay bar. It's a club though that has kind of like gay nights and
cool beans.
So I think that's really, really, really cool. But yeah, we're looking for the talented gays. But yeah, I mean, you know, I love this time of year and it's starting to get crispy and the leaves are almost all down and I'm just feeling, you know. I feel nostalgic at those times of years and remember, you know, I had one really, 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 I could tell all my breakup stories, but I had another Thanksgiving where I was really super sad and I had broken, I don't know if I was sad, I was just like spent. I was probably relieved if I could get down to that emotion, but and I was packing because I had to be moving the day after Thanksgiving.
Well, you're always packing.
Ending touche. but it was I wasn't even going to do anything for Thanksgiving. I was going to pack all day long, and I was doing Xena. It was the first Xena show, and I was breaking up with. I just opened a show that was a big hit. Our relationship was ending. I had nowhere to be for Thanksgiving except ferociously had to pack my half of the apartment while she was gone, and. And I'll never forget that my friend Scott Duff, who's an About Face company member and a dear friend
and a genius,
comedic genius, and Joel Butler, who is an About Face company member, and he has been the stage manager for Blue Man Group down here in Chicago for now, God, since we did Xena. He was my stage manager on that show. They were having gay men's Thanksgiving, and they called me the morning of. I'm like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm packing.
I'm sad.
I'm sitting here. I'm packing. I remember watching Sex and the City, and it was like the first season Sex and the City had been on. It was not a show anybody really watched yet. Uh-huh. It was not a phenomenon. I remember watching that, and I was so sad. It was just so sad and miserable, like the single girl in the city and nowhere to be for Thanksgiving. And the boys called me and they were like, would you come over to our place? And I was like, I don't know. And they were like, well, just come. And I was like, well, what can I bring? I was like, I haven't brought anything. They were like, you don't need to bring anything. We've cooked. We have, you know, three different types of stuffing. And we have, you know, sweet potatoes with marshmallows and sweet potatoes without marshmallows. And somebody's made Martha Stewart's this. I mean, it was like eight or 10 gay guys. I was the only lesbian, the only other female gendered person, and this is what they said to me when I said, can I bring something? I'll go buy a bakery, I'll go get a pie or something. They said, could you bring a football? And I was like, you know me, what the fuck are you telling me?
Why do they want a football?
Because they wanted to go out and play. We wanted to all go out to
but
the park, and none of them had a football.
That's so cute.
So I brought a football, and I had to go downstairs in the 3 flat I lived in with a family and go, do you have a football? And they let me borrow it, and I took the football, and we all ate. And we,
you played football?
And we played football.
A modified version.
We threw the football in the leaves.
That's
and
hilarious.
We watched South Park and we did other things I can't talk about on the podcast because it's illegal. In a way that we pass something and give thanks.
<that's> so
which is
hilarious.
A tradition in one of the gentlemen's family. To pass the bong.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Eat a lot of food.
I remember Thanksgiving. This is a not particularly happy one. I remember we were in tech rehearsal for The Gift, the original version of The Gift, back at About Face. It was at the Jane Addams, the Hull House. And we had a tech rehearsal.
Yeah.
And I had a kidney stone.
Oh, no.
I passed a kidney stone. So I couldn't go to tech. What a gift.
What a gift.
So I actually didn't go to tech rehearsal. And by the time I got out of the emergency room, having passed a kidney stone, then I went to Thanksgiving. And it was like the most depressing. And my boyfriend at the time was at home at his parents' house in New Jersey. And so he had been trying to call me all day and I wasn't answering the phone. So he was worried. So something was like, she's in the emergency room. It was like the worst. I don't know what made me think of that, but it was terrible. But eventually when I got to my friend's house who was having Thanksgiving dinner, I got there literally just in time to eat some. It ends up being okay.
I love people who open their homes up, and God love you if you've ever done that. And I try to open my home up for other holidays. Thanksgiving is too overwhelming, and you don't want me to open my home up for that holiday unless it's all being catered. But I like opening my home up, and I hope
I say hooray for catering.
hooray for catering is what I say,
who
too.
Cater?
Who cater? Who cater? All right. Well, we'll just see how the holidays unfold, but I guess we're just starting to talk about them. It'll be much more conversation, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
So next week, Stephen Rader on the show with me. You all are ships passing in the night. Perhaps you're the same person. It's kind of like LaToya and Michael.
Yeah,
We've never seen you in the same room ever. If you did, it would be spontaneous combustion. It would be too hot for us. It would be two mavericks in a room together.
I want Stephen to be my Christmas present.
All right. I'll work on that. I'll work on that. Or at least one of the Hanukkah presents.
Yeah. I get 8 days and eight
you
nights.
You got 8 days and eight nights. That's long enough for you to get your fill of
Stephen
Rader.
Oh, you better believe it. Believe it. I could get the Jonas Brothers, Hanson, Stephen Rader.
JT.
I could get JT. Yeah. I could get select members of all the... Yeah.
That would be really cute. I love it. All right, Mitchell. It's been great having you on this week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at AA.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.